Okay, so the last time that we were meeting to learn the Nachalat Avot, the parish of the Rabbanel on Pirkei Avot, so I introduced you and we talked about how different his parish was, and we talked about how it relates each Mishnah one to the other, and I like to call it an evolutionary approach, because basically he says that at each Tana, each new opinion that gets quoted is looking at a slice of life in light of both, first of all, history, and by the way, that's both backwards looking and forwards looking. As we saw last time, Nachek Neset Agdola, we're looking forward, the Nevi'im, we're looking forward and giving advice to the generations that were to come. Also looking backwards, of course, into Har Sinai. But not only that, but also each student is tweaking. Each student is tweaking the teaching of his Rebbe, right? If there's anything that he thought needed to be adjusted, so that's what he did. And we're going to continue with that tonight. The last two Mishnayot that we learned were Rabbi Yehoshua ben Prachya and Nitai Beili. Yehoshua ben Prachya taught, and we saw that this was a teaching about making sure to learn from one single Rebbe and having a friend to learn with, and nevertheless respecting the opinions of others. That's how we done it, kol adam lekav zchut. And Nitai HaRbeili was saying, harchek mishachen ra v'yal tetchaber l'rasha v'al tityayesh min haparanut, which was an adjustment and a limiting, actually, of one of the previous teachings, which was that you should open your house to everybody. You should open your house to all kinds of poor people. And he's saying over here, no, there are some people you should not open your house to Rishayim. So now we continue with that. Yehuda ben Tabbai and Shimon ben Shetach. We're in the next generation. So what do they say? So Yehuda ben Tabbai, the first one, says, "Al tas atzmacha korachay adahenin ukshayu balei dinin umdim lefanacha yu beinacha kirishayim ukeshiniftarim lefanacha yu beinacha kizakayim keshigiblu aleihem atedin." So Yehuda ben Tabbai, so he teaches something that seems to be exclusively in the realm of judging. The truth is that the Rambam writes in the beginning of his commentary to Avot that Pirkei Avot was written for judges, that it was teaching people how to judge. But, I mean, this is pretty specific. This is saying, you know, as a judge, make sure that you don't act like a lawyer, meaning don't give arguments to the defendants or to the plaintiff. Make sure that you treat them equally and you treat them fairly and you're strict. And he says, and while they're in front of you, make sure that you look at them as if each one of them is guilty so that you can be skeptical of their claims and properly vet them. But he says, however, when they leave you, then you can treat them as if they're tzaddikim, because that's the right thing to do. Before we drill into that, let's just look at Shimon ben Shetach. He says, make sure to interrogate the witnesses very severely, and be careful with the way you speak to them, because if you say the wrong thing, you could teach them how to lie. I think this is called leading the witness. Although that might refer to something else. Either way, it's clear that Yehuda ben Tabbai and Shimon ben Shetach have judging on the brain, right? Both of them decide that the teaching that they want to give in Pirkei Avot is pretty much exclusive to judges, right? That's irrelevant if you're not a judge, right? Okay, anybody want to make any points before we look at what the Rabbi Manel says? Anybody want to guess? How about this? Anybody want to guess what the Rabbi Manel is going to say?
I don't want to guess, but I have a different comment. It's this opinion that look at everybody as if he's got something to hide to begin with is the opposite of the Western idea of court, where you say the defendant is innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Although I think that Yehuda ben Tabbai's Lashon also refers to the plaintiff. I don't think he's only talking about the defendant. He's talking about if he has two litigants in front of him, one of them says, it's my money. The other one says, it's my money. So they're both lying. That's what he means. That's what you should assume until you get proven otherwise. Anybody want to take a stab at guessing what the Rebbe Nel is going to say? Okay, let's see. So the Rebbe Nel says, first of all, he calls all the rabbis shlemim. They were the fourth generation, and they're coming. Same thing as before. They're coming to limit the previous generation's teaching, meaning the previous generation's teaching went too far in one direction, and so they're going to balance it in the other direction. Why? Kilif, by the way, you're going to kick yourself for not guessing this. Kilifisha Amar Yehoshua ben Parachya v'haveidanet kol adam lekav zchut. Yehoshua ben Parachya, he ended with v'haveidanet kol adam lekav zchut. Look at every person favorably. Assume that they're being honest, which, by the way, is connected to last week's parasha. It's in Parashas Kedoshim, and the words betzedek tishpot et amitecha. Rashi says v'haveidanet kol adam lekav zchut, which is interesting because on the face of it, it's the opposite of betzedek tishpot amitecha, which would seem to be judge them according to tzedek. But Rashi says, "Avidanat kol adam lekav zchut." But we're not learning last week's Mishnah. Now we're learning this.
You can judge somebody with tzedek and still give them kav zchut.
You certainly could, but you wouldn't emphasize it. You would think that it would be much more skeptical if you're doing betzedek tishpot amitecha, unless tzedek doesn't mean what we think it means. And certainly, in the word staka, it actually means something different than what we usually mean when we talk about tzedek.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
so it has different meanings.
Yeah, it has different meanings. But over here, basically, Yehuda ben Tabbai thinks that Yehoshua ben Parachya, you've gone too far with your Havidanet Kol Adam Lekav Zchut. Kim Yasaked, Rotzel Amar Yadun Kol Adam Lekav Zchut. Yeh Adam Korachi Adayinim, Shehem Medabrim, Shorachin Tano, Tabalei Dino Lefni Adayinim, Shetamid Yomru Kol Echad Mehem Shebal Dino Hu Tzodek, Bidino V'Imo Dvar Mishpat. If the judge will act like this, if he'll treat each one of the people in front of him like he is Dan Lekav Zchut, then basically he's just going to start making up arguments for each one of them. Right, that's what he's going to do. He's going to say, this guy seems to be lying, but maybe he's not. Maybe this is really what the case is. Oh, the other guy seems to be lying, but maybe he's not. Maybe this is... That's not your job. Your job is to be the judge. You're going to end up getting it wrong because you're going to be... Basically, you've broken down the process of judgment. Not only should you not do this because of the people, but also there's a time for this and there's a time for that. When is the time for being Dan Lekav Zchut? Not when he's standing in front of you in the middle of the judgment. At that time, you should treat him as the opposite of kaf zchut. You should treat him lekaf chova, as a rasha. Don't listen to the guy who said that he was victimized, and don't listen to the person who said that he's the victimizer. Don't listen to either one. Yachkor v'yidrosh buryata davar v'amitato. And he says, "Ein vari b'inin kazela duna tkol adam kaf zchut." So when is it appropriate? In other words, Yehuda ben Tabbai says, of course, I'm not going to throw out Dan Lekav Zchut. He says, however, you just have to realize that when Yehoshua ben Parachya said Dan Lekav Zchut, the only time that's appropriate is when? No, it's when?
At the end.
After it's over.
But there's something that bothers me about this. If you say, that word kirushaim is bothering me. It's not just saying, be skeptical and investigate and interrogate, but they're Rasha'im. This is it's a very strong term to use.
So, I think you're right. I think it is a strong term, but I'll be honest. Because of the way that the Rabbanel is looking at this, I'm more comfortable with it. When you first learned this Mishnah, it definitely bothers you. You beinav kirishayim, that's really harsh. But since the Rabbanel is saying that Yehuda ben Tabbai, is saying this as a counterweight to the previous Mishnayot of Yehoshua ben Parachya of Havidanat Kol Adam Lekav Zchut, then it becomes understandable that he should say, no, Rasha'im. They should be Rasha'im when they're in front of you, and only afterwards there's Zaka'im.
I think you also can be Dan Lekav Zchut and still be skeptical. I'll take what you're saying. It's just, all right.
Well, one other point that I would make.
Rasha'im is bothering me.
I get it. I think the only thing I would say is that the word rasha, in the context of judgment, does not mean evil person. It just doesn't. It just means the one who is wrong. Ramban makes this point several places, but not the least of which, he says, what? Every single time somebody wins a court case, he's a tzaddik, and every single time somebody loses a court case, he's a rasha? It can't be. We're talking about cases of civil cases with money, whatever. No, it just means that hitzdikat tzaddik means the one who is right, and the hirshiyat rasha is the one who is wrong. So when he says, he just means, assume they're both wrong. Assume they both lose. He doesn't mean that they're evil people and that they, you know, you shouldn't even be nice to them. He's just saying, assume that they're both wrong. Treat them like Judge Judy would.
Or maybe it's about good evening. Maybe just like...
Ravid, you're supposed to be at the theater.
Yes, you see, I just came up. I managed to be in the theater and also to join the show.
Wow.
All the parties, because dancing in all the parties today.
Yes.
Yeah, but it was really, really nice to sit in a theater in a time like this. It's
beautiful.
It's making, yeah, it was. Anyhow, I was thinking about maybe a little bit in purpose, the use of a very hard word like Rashak, more in Harambam, when he said, when you need to fix the Midah, you need to go to the other direction. Like, you know what? Consider him as if he's Rashak. But you should not consider it as Rasha, the same way that you don't need to consider him as everyone is not guilty and then not come to the right point.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's how the Rabbi Benel would read it. I think you're right. Now, so like I said, he says, when they leave you, then there's a kayin. Shekfar kiblu alein et adin. Now, he mentions... The fisha yisheir la'aral zakiulayu bali adinin arumim. Maybe the bali adinim will be tricky, and the dayan will not be able to figure out the truth. So, what good is it if he treats them both as liars? He can't figure out what the truth is. So, what is he supposed to do? Comes along Shimon Bechetach and says, "Make sure you interrogate the witnesses really strongly." Kihu kimesayeya umosif. So he says, Yehuda ben Tabai is really just a sniff. He's an extra add-on to his friend, to Shimon Bechetach, that you have to make sure to have lots of chakira on the witnesses. He adds on, very interestingly, I like this at the end, he says, "Efshar od afarish b'divrei Shimon Bechetach shelo ba lesayeh lehosif b'divrei Rebbe d'metabei chavero." Maybe the part about the edim is not meant to add on. "Ava ba levayer lagbil divrei nitai ben harbei li." Maybe he's coming to limit the other Mishnah that came before it, the other generational rabbi that came before him, who said, "Al titchaber l'rasha," v'amar Shimon Bechetach shein ra'i she'ovan zaklali ki pamim ra'i litchaber l'rasha v'yitzdak zeh b'dayan kedei l'harbot achikira b'edim shim lo yitchaber b'tzadikim u'b'shayim v'lo yarbe b'em hadibur v'ashelot ech yodeh ha'emet. Beautiful. So he says, if you took Yitai Arbeli's advice too seriously, what would happen? The dayan would say, "You know what? I had enough of this case. Both of these guys are liars. Their Edim are all liars. I just want to be done with it because I don't want to be close to the Rishayim. They're all liars." And what did Nitai Arbeli say? "Al titchaber l'rasha," right? Because remember, that's what Shimon Bechetach said. He said, "They're Rishayim. The whole thing is a nice long circle, right? They're Rishayim, so I should stay away from them." So Yehuda Ben Tabai says, "No, you can't do that. You must be marbe lachkor et ha'edim. You must get close to these people who are liars and rishayim and make sure that you figure out what makes them tick and figure out how to get them to tell the truth." Okay, so that's an extra way of looking at it, which really takes it full circle. And Yehuda Ben Tabai and Shimon Bechetach are now critiquing both of the rabbis that came before them. Okay, next one. Shmaya v'Avtalion, Kiblam Hamsish. The famous Shmaya v'Avtalion. What makes Shmaya and Avtalion very famous? What feature do they have in common that in fact makes it hard to understand how they could be the leaders, in fact, as they were? Okay, so we'll wait for the Rabbi Benel to say it. Shmaya v'Avtalion kiblu mehem. Shmaya omer ehov et hamlacha usnat harabanut ve'al titvada l'rashut. So Shmaya used to say, you should love work and hate the Rabbanut. Now, what does this mean? You should hate the Rabbanut of Eretz Israel? So no, I actually once had a weird debate with a friend. He's like, "What does this mean? You're supposed to hate rabbis." I said, "It's not rabbis, obviously. It's not hating rabbis. Rabbanut simply means authority. it probably isn't even referring to it. It almost definitely isn't even referring to spiritual or religious authority. It's actually referring to governmental authority. And it's saying you should hate them. Now, what does that mean? We'll have to figure out what that means. V'altit vadal reshut. And don't draw close to the government, to a ruling authority. Now, Abravanel starts with, you have to know this about Shmaya and Avtalion. Shnei shlimim ha'ile. Again, shlimim. Hayu roshei ador ha'mishi mechachmei ha'mishna. They were the fifth generation. Kvar katavti shahiu mikahal geirim. They were both geirim. Shmaya and Avtalion. Both of them were converts. V'odiacha ma'asher ha'iti b'sifrei geirim. This I've never seen before, by the way. This was really cool. He says, I want to show you something that I saw in the non-Jewish books. They had scholars that wrote down the religion and the rituals of the religions of the early Romans. I saw in these books that Avtalion, a man named Avtalion, was mentioned. That he was extremely, he was extraordinary, and that he arranged the rituals of many religions. And there continues to this day a religion called the religion of Avtalion. I'm actually not sure if religion is the right word for dat over here. I think it might actually be ritual over here, but okay. In his books, it says that this Avtalion Azav Avodat Atzlanim Shehu Baromi, he left the idolatry of Rome. He says, this is for sure our Avtalion. And they both got together because, you know, two peas in a pod, they got together, Shmaya and Avtalion. Fine. So this is Shmaya. Shmaya says, love work, hate Rabbanut, and don't get close to the Rishut, whatever that means. So, okay. So, the Barbanel says that Shmaya is now adjusting Yehuda ben Tabbai. How? Well, Yehuda ben Tabbai made a big deal about, and Shimon b'Shetach both made a big deal about being judges. So Shmaya says, this whole thing is a bad idea. Azarat adayanim. Amar shara'ui la'adam shivrach meharabanut. You should stay away from authority at all. Ki hu be'emet masa kaved rav hasakana. By the way, we're going to see over here an insight into the Abarbanel's own life. This whole involvement in authority is dangerous. V'yev shal adayan shalo yachtaki bazei yechlez mano v'lo yuchal ha'agot b'torah lishma. And you can't avoid making mistakes. And it's going to make your life short, and you're not going to be able to learn Torah properly. And so, Amar Shabazay Yimashech LaAdam YaTorah Shelo Yitvadal Rishut. Vatzal Amar Shabiyot Adam Dayano Parnes BeHechreich Yenodal Rishut. Guess what happens when you become a judge? You become known to the ruling authorities of the city, right? You become known to the magistrates and to the government, the non-Jewish government that is in control of your area, because you're the Jewish Dayan. And then what happens? You get involved with them. Rather, you know what's better? It's better for a person to keep his head down, get a good job, you know, be an accountant, be a computer programmer, be a blacksmith, and avoid the whole thing altogether. He wants to claim that Al Titvada L'Rishut is not actually a command or a suggestion. It's an outgrowth. It's a byproduct of Snat Rabbanut. As long as you stay away from being a judge, then you will stay away from the government, which is really what you want to do. Now over here, I mentioned that the Rambam says getting involved in authority is what is going to make a person lose time with his Torah and his Emunah, because he's not going to be able to get involved only in Chagim and Shabbatot, right? Who knows better than the Rambam? The Rambam was at the beck and call of the Sultan. I don't know if he ever had to miss a Shabbos because of it, but he's saying it could easily happen, right? The Sultan calls you. He says, I need you. You have to come. What are you going to do? But then the Abarbanel inserts his own experience. right? Everybody knows what the Abarbanel, his family, what they did, at least most of the time, until he was kicked out of Spain.
Were they the treasurers to the king and queen?
Yes, he was the treasurer. He himself was the treasurer, I believe, to Ferdinand and Isabella, I think, before he was expelled from Spain. And apparently, that was not the worst part of it, the expulsion. I lived my whole life in the palace. And it was not good. I only want to be close to Hashem. So, if you want advice from somebody who's had the experience, according to the Rabbanal, there is no, the palace is not a good place for a nice Jewish boy or girl. Now, he wonders, why does it say Ehov et Malacha and not simply Asok b'malacha? So this is just a very nice message, you know, for we people who work. So it says, "Lagid she'ein tov la'adam she'asa malacha al tzad ha'echreach v'ha'ones mitda'eg aleha u'bal kocho." It's not good to feel like you have to work, to feel like you're forced to work. Aval she'ohav ata v'az ya'asana b'simcha v'tuvay le'vav. You should love it. And you should feel like you're happy doing it. A person who reaps the benefit of his work, yegia kapecha ki tochal ashrecha v'tovlach. And what does the Gemara Bracha say? The Gemara Bracha says something astonishing. It says ashrecha b'olam hazeh v'tovlachal olam haba. Oh, he doesn't even quote the more astonishing thing. It says that somebody who is yegia kapecha is greater than a yari. I think it's a yari shamayim. I think it's Yerei Shamayim because it says Ashrecha v'tov lach. I have to look it up again. I don't want to misquote it. V'lachein, and he says, and therefore we find Hayu Rabbi Michachmei Yisrael Bale Melacha K'Rabbi Yoshua Shamrav Perak Tefilat Hashachar She'ab Chami. That's why you find that all the rabbis, all the Tanayim, all the Amarayim, they were all workers. He worked with I think this is coal, Pcham, but some of them were blacksmiths. Some of them were, you know, were shepherds. All kinds of workers. They all worked. And he's saying this was a good thing. They did it voluntarily. They weren't doing it b'diavad. I just feel compelled. I have to mention that one time I was watching a news story where there was a fellow who I think it was like a 3-part news story on Haredim. I think these come out every year. Like some reporter wants to investigate Haredim every single year. Anyways, he was talking to a certain Rosh Yeshiva. I don't know who it was. I didn't recognize him. And he said, you know, why don't the boys go to work? And the Rosh Yeshiva said, well, I don't understand. Don't you know what it says in Bereshit? It says in Bereshit, b'zeyat apecha tocha lechem. That's a curse. Why would you want to curse? Hashem cursed us that we have to work. If we have an opportunity to not work, then obviously we shouldn't work because it's a curse. And that's how they left it. And I always wondered, you know, if this reporter had been just a little bit more knowledgeable, that he would have been able to say, well, you know, there was another curse that was given, not to Adam, but to Chava, which was Be'etzev Taldi Banim, that you're going to have babies Be'etzev. So maybe you should avoid that curse also and not have any babies. If you're avoiding curses, so avoid that one too. But alas, he didn't have the knowledge base to ask that question. And obviously, in my opinion, and in the opinion of the Rabbanel, clearly, lohai velohai, the answer is ahovet ha-malacha and have lots of babies if you want. That's the right answer. When you work and you don't get exposed to the government, then what's going to happen? You'll be able to keep the Torah and mitzvot. Why? If you have to work for the government, who knows what they're going to ask you to do? They're going to ask you to hurt people, to do all kinds of things. You don't know what the government's going to ask you to do, and you'll have no option. If you become a judge also, you're going to steal from people and you're going to cause people to die who are not ra'ui to die. He said, it's just a bad idea. You should stay away from it. He doesn't have to get involved in any of these things. So this was supposed to be a hagbala on what his Rebbe Shimon B'Shetach and Yehuda Ben Tabbai say. What do you guys think of this? I'm curious. This read of Shemaya. I think it's consistent. The Rabbanal is very consistent. It's very good. And it certainly, I like the way that he rereads the previous Mishnah. I'm just bothered that basically, according to Shemaya, nobody should be judges. Like, he's giving people advice that they shouldn't want to be a judge. But we need judges. We need Dayanim. A Dayan is a very important person. I mean, we give a lot of kavod to these people. And the Dayan Ela Mashein Avraot, you can only judge what you can see. So you kind of get protected from doing these Averot. So it just seems a little bit off that Shemaya would be so harshly discouraging people from becoming Dayanim. I mean, nobody should take Yadin Yadin, apparently. Should stick with your Adeya, maybe. Maybe even not that. You don't want to make any mistakes. Just interesting. Okay. Now we get to Avtalion, the other side of it. So he says, and this we get back to more historical matters. Chachamim, he zaharu b'divreichem. Avtalion gave advice to the Chachamim. He said, be careful with your words. Shema tachuvu chobat galut, v'tiglu l'makom mayim ra'im. V'yishtu atalmidim haba'im achareichem v'yamutu. Says, Chachamim, be very careful with your words, because if you're not careful with your words, what's going to happen? Then it's going to cause galut. Somehow, the Jewish people, it seems, are going to be in exile, or maybe you're going to be in exile. Not exactly clear what this means, I think. And they're going to go to a place of bad waters, whatever that means. And then those Talmidim will eat those and die. And then Shem Shamayim Mitchalel. What are we supposed to make of this? Anybody have a perush on this Mishnah? What's he talking about? What's Avtalion talking about? No. It was the first paragraph.
It's very actual, because when somebody is like Rav Gadol, many follows and hear what he says, like literally. Right. We might misinterpret what he says, or maybe he meant something that was out of context, and right. People might mamash yachtu and even do averot gdolot meod due to those. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Very legitimate. All right. So let's see what the Abravanel says. So Avtalion, so he heard Shimon Mishatach say, "Have a mar belachkor et eidim." So the Abravanel is going to go back on that. Vehevizar bidvarecha. So this is, you know, you have to be the Barbanel to say this, because you have to have his perspective on Pirkei Avot. Nobody would say this if it wasn't for the Barbanel. The Barbanel says, just look 2 Mishnayot ago, and you had the Dvarecha over there also. Right? Avimar Belachkor Et Eidim, Avizar B'Dvarecha, Shem Mitocham Yomudum L'Shaker. He also told you to be careful with your words. And Avtalion is also telling you to be careful with your words. So he says, he wants to explain, and here he's actually adding on to what Yehuda ben Tabbai said. He says, "Shelo levad binan ha'edim tzarich al chacham sheyizar mipachad shama mitoch dvarav yomudu l'shaker." It's not just with regards to judging and witnesses that you have to be careful. Ki gam lekol ha'chachamim, exactly what Ravid said, all teachers, ra'i zeh ma'od lizar b'divreichem, kedei shelo yishmu otam ha'talmidim shelo shimshu kol tzarkam v'yavin l'divreichem behefech kamanavatam. Because if you say something unclear, then your students will misunderstand and they'll get it wrong. And then what will happen? Yatum imdeze al deot nifsadot, they'll have bad ideas, shem ha'mavet ha'miti lanefesh, which are death for the soul. Over here, he seems to be taking it metaphorically. We'll see later. Kamo sha'atzu tzaduk ubaitus, right? Which is apropos over here, because we've already said, we've seen already that Antigonus ish socho, who said, that you shouldn't be the kind of Eved that serves only to get a benefit. So Antigonus ish socho had 2 Talmidim, Tzadok and Baitus, who misunderstood this, or their students misunderstood this, and they became Tzadukim and Baitusim, which is the same thing. Now, in the next paragraph, he gives an example. The Gemara in Pesachim says that one rabbi one time was teaching about Hilchot Chametz U'Matzah, and he said, "Ein lashin ela b'mayim shalanu." We don't do lisha, we don't do kneading, except with mayim shalanu. Now, what is mayim shalanu? What does this phrase mean? So apparently, what he meant was, b'mayim shenishavu me'atmo. This is water that had been drawn yesterday and spent the night, right? It used to be very bad to have water that spent the night because the bottles were stayed open and then the snake came over and spit his poison in. We don't have these problems nowadays, but they used to have that. Also, the water may go bad. But what happened? The people listening to the drasha, they heard, that you have to use your water, mayim shelanu. Now, nothing bad really happened, but they totally misunderstood what he said, right? Because they didn't understand. He wasn't careful enough. I don't know what he was supposed to do to be more careful. Maybe he needed to explain himself. They got it wrong. Now, Avtalion says, this may cause chovat galut. Why did he say this? That's really harsh. Like, that's super harsh. So why did he say this? So Abarbanel says, because he was looking ahead. So this is getting back to like what the Nevi'im were doing, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah were doing. Avtalion already saw. So fel mabit b'chokhmato, shetechrav bayit sheni v'yavo lidei agalut b'kerev ha'umot. Yesh bahem deot nifsadot b'emunatam. And he saw that there's going to be an exile soon. And then we're going to be in the non-Jewish countries where there are lots of ideas floating around that are against our religion. And he says, what's going to happen? If you're not careful, then you're going to cause galut, which is tiglu l'makom ha'mayim ha'ra'im. The bad water is a kinui l'minut. It's a euphemism for heresy. People are not going to keep mitzvah properly. And then what happens? Yifreshu otam kefi amunotehem v'deotem ha'misadot. If you're not careful, then what happens is they go into exile and people will carry your teachings with them, but they won't have you anymore. And so they'll misunderstand your teachings. And then that generation will teach another generation these wrong things. You have a broken telephone situation. And then they'll think that that was what you said, right? So this is mamash, a broken telephone. That's what's going on over here. That will cause a chilul Hashem because they'll say, not only is this what Judaism thinks, but it's always what Judaism thought. This is what Moshe Rabbeinu thought. This is what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi thought. And that's wrong. And so you have to be very careful to transmit your messages very clearly. Okay. Now, he does mention another track. He says, Eino she is here, she yivaru divrayim of a behefech. She lo yivaru v'yiglu sodot ha-Torah v'sstareh l'chol adam. Kiim l'chachamim horim l'kablam. Over here he says that actually what Avtalion is really saying is, Hizaru b'divreichem, and don't say too much. Don't say too much at all. Why? Because if you reveal secrets to the Talmidim, it could go wrong. There are things that you're allowed to say, and there are things you're not allowed to say. Kami hiziru al zeh b'chagiga, ein dorshin ma'aseh bereishit b'shnayim v'lo b'merkava b'yachid. There are things that you're not supposed to teach, like ma'aseh merkava, and certain forms of Kabbalah. And it's not that the rabbi said, don't do this because they don't want people to know about these things, but rather they know that some people are not able to understand it, and not every teacher is able to transmit it properly. There was a story about one Tana who basically said, you know, you teach me what you know, and I'll teach you what I know. So the other person taught him, and then he said, well, I'm not going to teach you what I know. So he backed out. He backed out. And the Gemara says he backed out because he saw that the person was not ra'ui to understand the secret deep teachings that he was teaching. It wasn't because he was being mean. It just he saw that this person was not the kind of person that could handle it. And he says, the word galot, this is really a nice chassid shavort by the Barbanel. Milat galut v'tiglu shnei milashon gilui v'shorsham gala. V'inyanam al galut sodot ha-Torah v'sitareah shizaru b'divreichem ha-chachamim zeh shema yachuvu l'fnei Hashem chovat galut. Don't tell them the secrets. Be careful not to reveal. because you'll be a chov. The chov will come from revealing things that are not supposed to be revealed. But so chovat avon vashmat hagilui v'zachar mashi mashech mizani. You mentioned what could happen. You know, the bad things could happen if you reveal too many deep secrets to people that are not worthy of hearing them. Okay, I know it's a little bit early, but I'm actually feeling a little bit under the weather, so I'm going to stop here. And next week, hopefully, we'll be able to continue a little bit more in the thought of the Abarbanel on Pirkei Avot. We did a nice amount. We did about 4 Mishnayot, I think. And we saw a little bit more of how he understands how to read Pirkei Avot. So maybe next time, the next Mishnah I read, you guys will be able to guess what he says before he says it.
Okay.
Let's see. Shkoyach.